Welcome to The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And in today's podcast, we're going to talk about why it's not the cell phone's fault. Welcome to The Mental Breakdown.
I'm glad we're finally having this discussion. Long overdue.
I agree. I think it's long overdue. I think that we need to have this conversation. And now is a good time because school is back in full swing.
Right.
We are getting back to our daily routine of getting up early, battling in the morning.
Battling to get everybody ready and out the door.
Getting out the door, getting to school, making it through the school day without having any problems. And then getting home and doing homework and evening routines and all that good stuff.
Right. And we're into that part of the school. You know, the introductory weeks are over, right. And our children are starting to get grades. They're starting to take quizzes, tests, getting work turned in, and so they've started to get the grades for this new 9 weeks.
Right.
Okay. And with those grades, we have the potential to run into some parent-child problems.
Right. The honeymoon is over.
Honeymoon's over, right.
And you know, the first couple of weeks of school is always, not always, is usually pretty good, pretty easy going.
Right.
It's just a review. We're just kind of doing formalities.
Right. My own children come home and say, we don't have any homework yet.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you have homework? We don't have any homework yet. We don't have our books yet. We don't have our assignments yet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's now past. We're very close to the interim grade report.
Right.
And when is that, next week?
That's the end of next week.
Next week, we will have the interim grade report. So it'll be a chance for us parents to take a look and see how our children are doing in the various subjects.
Right. Absolutely. So when we are talking with parents at this time of the school year, we are just starting to get into, so how do we handle problems?
That's right.
How do we handle it when our kids are giving us a hard time about homework? How do we handle it when their grades aren't where they're supposed to be? How do we handle, you know, if they get in trouble at school? That to me is a huge issue. That's something that I'm frequently frustrated with. So how do we handle these things and respond to them appropriately?
That's right. What are you going to do if your child brings home a low grade? If you expect your child to get A's, B's, and C's, and she brings home an F, or you expect your child to get A's and B's, and she brings home a C or a D, how are you going to respond to that? And that's what we want to talk about this morning.
Yeah. So let's think for just a second about what our typical response is from a parent. When a parent presents with this issue, we'll ask you, so what are you doing now? What is your typical response to them at this time?
Right.
And invariably, they all say the same thing. We take away their phone.
Take the cell phone. If she gets a bad grade, you take the cell phone. If she has trouble in school with a teacher, take your cell phone. If she's late for class, you take. There is this automatic response that many parents are using now. They know that the cell phone is an important item for the child. And if they take the cell phone, that virtually guarantees that there's going to be some change.
Absolutely. Some change.
But some change. That's right. Not necessarily an improvement.
Right.
There's going to be some change.
The reaction from the child, really, that the parent's trying to get. And I don't mean that in a positive way. I don't mean that in, you know, well, we're doing this so that you will do your homework. In reality, the parent is doing it to hurt the child, the student. We want to have a negative impact on them. And so the thing that we can do that's going to affect them the most is to take their phone away because it means so much to them.
In behavioral theory, we have this thing about the salient reinforcer or the salient punishment. And what we learned very early on is if you're going to have a consequence, it has to be important to the child.
Right.
Otherwise, it may not work. I mean, you know, some kids, you can take things away, but they don't care because it doesn't mean anything to them. So what parents have learned, what we all know about our children is the single most important item in most children's lives is the cell phone.
Right.
And so because it is so important, it has power that parents realize and say, if I want to punish my child, if I want to have an effective consequence, what's the most important thing I can take away? The cell phone.
Right.
But what we want to talk about this morning is there's a danger in doing that. There's a danger in reaching for the cell phone every time your child does something wrong. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Be very, very careful about yanking that cell phone. There are going to be consequences that you may not want to deal with, or they're going to add to the problems.
Right. Because, you know, what we've talked about before in previous podcasts, and certainly it is the case, you know, you mentioned behavior theory.
Right.
What is certainly the case in behavior theory is that you want your consequence to be relevant to the problem.
To the problem, right.
So taking the child's cell phone is perfectly appropriate when they're on their cell phone instead of doing homework.
Right.
If they're not doing their homework because they're on their cell phone, that makes perfect sense. But what you do is you take the cell phone until the homework is complete, and then the cell phone can be returned. That's the nature of behavior. That's how behaviorism would work in that kind of situation.
Right.
But if the child gets in trouble at school for being out of his seat, and then you take the cell phone away from him, well, that cell phone has absolutely nothing to do with being out of his seat at school. So why would we think that removing the cell phone as the consequence is going to have an effect on the behavior that caused the issue to begin with?
That's right. So caution number one is, first of all, think about what the child has done. What has the child done wrong?
Right.
What is the mistake? What is the problem? What is the behavior of concern?
Okay, right.
And if that isn't related to the cell phone, then don't yank the cell phone.
Right.
So the consequence, whatever consequence you come up with, has to be related to the offense.
Right.
Okay. And you're absolutely right. If a child is getting out of her seat in that's the problem you deal with, and the consequence should be related to getting out of her seat, not to her cell phone.
Right.
Okay. So that's caution number one.
Right. Which introduces a very challenging prospect, because if the child gets in trouble for being out of her seat at school, how do you punish that at home?
Right. That's right.
You don't.
You can't.
And that's going to take a lot of people by surprise, and that's going to be frustrating to a lot of parents. And, you know, certainly you don't want to be in a situation where you're, I see that you got in trouble for being out of your seat at school. Let's go get ice cream. You're not going to do something like that.
Right.
But to punish your child at home for something that happened at school, perhaps hours and hours and hours beforehand, doesn't make any sense from a behavioral perspective, from a cognitive perspective, from any psychological perspective that I can think of.
That's right. And the best example of that is if your child isn't doing chores at home, we wouldn't ask the teacher to have a consequence for that.
Right.
I mean, you don't punish... Don't
let him go to recess today because he didn't take the trash out last night.
Those two things aren't related to each other. And it's the same in reverse. If a child is having a problem in school, you may not be able to solve that problem by having a consequence at home. You may, we used to paddle kids when they got home, but we never.
I heard about a school recently that now what they'll do is, and not that this is new, but they have the parents come to the school and spank the kids at school for something that they're doing wrong. And
right.
That's
right. So bring the parent to school.
Mm-hmm. To spank the kid for something that they're doing in class.
Or a transgression that occurred at school. Okay. So we're not saying that, you know, we want parents to be involved, but when it comes to consequences, we want the consequences to be carefully considered.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to be related to the offense. We want them to occur in the place where the offense occurred.
Right.
I know that a lot of parents will say, well, I got in trouble at school, then I got in trouble at home too.
Right.
Okay. I understand all that, mm-hmm. but there is a better way to do it.
Right.
What we're suggesting is, there's a better way to do it. There's a more effective way of doing it without coming down that hard on your kids. It's still going to work, but you don't have to punish at home for what happens at school.
Well, and this is especially relevant and especially apparent if you're one of those parents who says, you know, that they are doing it repeatedly.
Right.
Your kid's getting in trouble multiple days a week for getting out of a seat, and you punish him every night at school. That should be an indication that punishing him at home has no impact on his behavior at school.
Right.
And so we need a new plan. In reality, we need a new plan at school. We need a new plan with the teacher. What is happening that's creating a situation where the kid is getting out of his seat when he's not supposed to at school? And work with the teacher.
That's right.
Not with the parent.
So there's still parent involvement.
Right.
You're still involved. You're still concerned. You're still doing but you're working with the teacher to solve the problem at school. Right. What can we do at school to solve this problem?
Right.
So, yes, you're still involved. It's just that, you know, the teacher punishes at school and then you punish at home. That's one way of doing it. A more effective way of doing it is work with the teacher to come up with effective consequences in the classroom.
Right. Yeah. And none of that is resolved by taking away the cell phone. None of it. It just those two things just don't go together.
Yeah. And it happens all the time. I mean, there are some children, no matter what they do wrong, it's always the same consequence.
Right.
You yank their cell phone.
Right.
Okay. And we're going to talk about what yanking the cell phone is doing to relationships.
Well, let's go ahead and go into that now, because, you know, we've talked before that, you know, the way that the world is now,
right,
is that our cell phones, our kids' cell phones, no matter how old they are, our kids' cell phone is their social tie. That's their social...
It's their lifeline to the world.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, it just is.
And it's not that it's a new phenomenon. I mean, when we were kids, we had our landlines, mm-hmm. Sure. But, you know, but in the 80s and then in the 90s, of course, that expanded so that we had call waiting and we had three-way calling and we had all these things that we could do so that we could have communication with people while still, you know, not losing other calls that were coming in and everything. But our parents complained about the same thing. They're just spending too much time on the phone. And so mm-hmm. they would limit us. But at that time, the options were very limited. The options were, you know, we have to restrict your time on the phone because nobody else can get in touch. There's not email. There's not texting. There's nothing else. There's no other way to get in touch with anybody.
More than 50 years ago, so we're talking almost two generations, parents were complaining that their children were spending too much time on the telephone. There would be kids who would get the house phone. There was usually one phone in the house. And they would tie it up for one or two or 3 hours at a time talking mm-hmm. to their friends. So what was the solution for that? The solution was limit their time on mm-hmm. the phone. That really hasn't changed.
Right.
I mean, we're dealing with the same issue. It's just, it's more intense. There are more hours involved, but we're really dealing with the same issue. We have to limit the use mm-hmm. because it is an important device. And can we keep talking about that?
Yeah.
Look, we've lost the cell phone battle. If you're a parent, you have lost the cell phone battle. By the time you have two choices, either you never give your child a cell phone, until they're in high school.
Okay.
But then you're going to have the battle then. You know, there's a thing happening with kids today in driving. Many children, many teenagers aren't getting their driver's license at 16.
Right.
Okay. And they wait until they're 18 because they don't need a learner's permit. You can just go ahead and get your license. All that's happened is the accidents that used to occur at age 16 are now occurring at 18.
Right.
You can't avoid these things. Okay.
Right.
So if you don't give your child a cell phone until your child is in high school, you're going to deal with the problems in high school.
Right.
If you give it to her in middle school, you're going to deal with the problems in middle school.
Right.
Okay. So we have lost the battle of the cell phone. In today's world, children who have cell phones, especially smartphones, are going to use them many, they're going to use them constantly.
Right.
They're going to use them. They're going to use them to text. They're not going to use them to talk. They're going to use them. They don't think of the cell phone as a voice device.
Right.
It's texting, it's surfing the internet, it's being connected, and they must remain connected as long as they can every day.
Right.
If you let them, they'll stay connected 24 hours a day.
And the reality is that many schools are taking advantage of that by having the students use their phones and use their internet service to research things, to get more information, to understand more, to get pictures, to get videos of things.
Right.
And so schools are encouraging kids who have them. I mean, certainly they can't require all students to have a cell phone, but, you know, they certainly encourage those who have the cell phones to use them in a way that enhances academics. But, you know, the issue, so that's an academic issue, which is a little bit different than the social issue.
That's right. But the cell phone is now seen as a learning tool.
Right.
And when, you know, we parents laugh about it because our kids will text us in the middle of the day during mm-hmm. class, and we say, "Why are you on? You know, are you allowed to use your phone in school?" Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
you know, so that battle's been lost too. There was a time just a few years ago where you were not allowed to have your phone out.
You still can't chew gum, but you can use your cell phone.
You have to wear a uniform, and you can't chew gum, but you can use your phone.
Yeah.
So the schools have got, they know they can't win the battle. It's
just
there are too many cell phones. There are too many kids using them.
Right.
Our children will always be ahead of us with technology.
Right.
You cannot catch up as a parent. They're just too, it's just happening too quickly. And so they're going to have their cell phones, and mm-hmm. they're going to use them differently than we want them to use them. So yes, it is a very important device. It's a very important part of their life. That doesn't mean that you should always take the cell phone
right.
for every transgression. So right. we acknowledge that they're going to use them. We acknowledge that they are a vital, perhaps the most vital mm-hmm. part of a child's...
Right.
It's the most vital possession they own.
Right.
Absolutely. Hands down.
Just ask them.
You can take anything else. You can take cars. You can take anything else.
Right.
Don't take my cell phone.
And the other piece of it, you know, when we talk about the social aspect of it, is that most schools now, students are in classes with people who don't live nearby.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so their only yeah. communication with their friends, you know, we say, why don't you play more with your friends? Why don't you talk to your friends? Well, their friend lives across town, and you're That's not right. going to let them ride their bike across town, or you're not going to take them across town. So the only way that they have to communicate with them is on their phone.
Right.
And
right.
so... we want them to be more social, but to be more social, they have to have their phone. So it is this this nasty cycle that we keep getting ourselves in, where we want them to do these things, but to do those things, they have to have their cell phone, but we don't want them to have their cell phone, so we take it away from them for anything that they do wrong, because that's mm-hmm. what's going to have an effect on them.
Right.
And then it just keeps going and going and going.
Right.
And,
right.
and as you said, almost everything that they do on their phone.
Exactly.
At my kid's school... they do almost all of their work on electronic devices.
That's right.
And so whether it's their cell phone or their iPad or something like that, they are always, every assignment is done on that device.
Right.
So if I take it away, I'm in essence taking away their opportunity to do homework, their mm-hmm. opportunity to study. So it really does, it can't be the automatic default punishment to take right. away these electronic devices.
The other thing, if we look at it from the child's point of view, and you're right, they're doing everything on a cell phone.
Right.
I mean, they can do things on a cell phone that I didn't know you could do on a cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean, but my daughter has a web of friends. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have two or three friends. She has groups of friends, some from her athletic team, some from her classes,
right.
some kids that she knows. She has relatives around the country. So she has webs mm-hmm. of relationships. All those relationships are held together through her cell phone.
Right.
So she might be communicating with her cousin in California or her friends in Arkansas or somebody on her tennis team or somebody on a cheerleading squad. She's communicating with a web of people.
Right.
Okay. When we had the black Bakelite phone, you know, in dial phone in their house,
yeah.
you could communicate with one person at a time, unless right. you had a party line.
Yeah.
You don't know about party lines.
A little bit.
So,
I've seen it in a movie.
You see, black and white.
Oh, wow.
Right. So she has this web of friends, but she's also Snapchatting,
right.
Instagramming, surfing the net.
Right.
And it's what our students do in class. I taught a class last night, graduate students.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these are highly motivated graduate students. I'm talking, and I see this one of my students on her computer, mile a minute, and she and the person beside her are laughing about something. I had mentioned a black mamba.
Okay.
Okay. I was teaching about something, and I mentioned
about snakes.
Kind of. And so, and she said, I said, can I ask what you're doing? Because she was looking at these animals on her computer. I went back and I looked at her computer, and I said, can I ask what you're doing? And she said, I'm going to make sure black mambas don't live in Florida. Because she was afraid. They use
right.
these devices differently.
Mm-hmm.
They're using them while they're listening to us.
Right.
And she was listening to me, but she was gathering information.
Mm-hmm.
Another time, another student, I mentioned the word dysgraphia, and she wasn't paying attention. She was in her computer, and I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm looking up dysgraphia. I've never heard that before.
Okay.
So they're gathering information
mm-hmm.
as you're speaking.
Okay. Right.
And this is the way they deal with their cell phones.
Right.
They're gathering information. They're texting, they're Snapchatting, they're Instagramming. They're doing everything at one time. So when you say to them they're addicted to their phone, you're absolutely right. They are.
Right.
They are addicted because that is where their life is occurring.
And just being careful about the word addicted.
Right.
It's not so much that they're addicted. It's that they're dependent.
Exactly.
You know, it's not that they can't go without it. It's that they wouldn't be able to function.
How would you learn
that?
How would you
right.
learn, how would you keep up with stuff if
right.
you didn't have your phone?
Right.
And the other thing,
you know, because kids say that. Well, how do you want me to do my homework if you take
right.
that away? How am I going to do my homework?
That's right.
So,
how do I communicate with anybody if I don't have my cell phone?
Yeah.
Right. And so the other thing to remember is that if your child has this web of friends and she stops communicating, they think she's angry or she's ignoring them. And so then you get into this social, you get into a social relationship problem because, well, why didn't you answer my text? Why aren't you responding? Are you angry with me? Or because we don't know because it's all happening through text. So we're putting our kids in this precarious position when we yank their cell phone because they have become dependent. Dependent's a much better word than addicted.
And you know, I work with a lot of patients with that because, you know, some parents will have the expectation, what I think is a perfectly acceptable expectation is cell phones are put away during dinner. Okay, that's perfectly fine. But that's going to create a lot of anxiety in some kids for exactly the reason that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to do is we have to create a plan. So when it's dinner time, you need to text your friends and say, BRB, I'll be right back. Got to go eat dinner. I'll be back in about 30 minutes. And so now they know what's going on.
That's right. Or you say, I don't want you to use your phone during homework time.
Right.
Okay. So homework time is 7 to 8 o'clock. So they tell their friends, look, I'm offline from 7 to 8. I'm offline. So everybody knows. Okay.
Right.
But you have to give them a chance to make that adjustment. Right. If you just yank it.
Right.
And there's no warning, you know, you're kind of putting the kid in a little bit of a difficult situation because of the way they live in their world.
Right. Which is exactly why it's important that we structure our days, that we structure the time that we're having dinner, that we structure the time that we're doing homework. Because if you can do that, if you can say from 7 to 8, I'm not available.
Right.
Friends will very quickly learn that from 7 to 8, you're not available.
Let me give you another example. Bernie is a technophile. Technophile? I'm a technophobe. You're a technophile.
I'm going to look that up, why?
That's what they do. When you text me, if you text me at 9 o'clock at night and I don't respond, what does that do to you? I know what it does to you, right? You're saying, why is he ignoring me, right? That's what their friends are doing.
What is he doing?
That's right. Why isn't he responding? When you send somebody a text, you expect an immediate response. Right. It's just an expectation we have. We're dealing with one person.
Right.
They're dealing with maybe dozens of people coming in all the time. So you have 10 or 12 people saying, why aren't you responding to me? You know, I sent you a text an hour ago.
Right.
I haven't heard from you yet.
Right.
You know, so.
And then they get worried.
That's right.
And then Lord forbid, you introduce a little bit of psychopathology in there,
right.
A little bit of depression, a little bit of anxiety or something,
right.
and that, it just explodes. Right. It's just like, it's horrible for those kids.
Right.
And we hear them in our office all the time that, well, you know, if I don't respond, then they're going to get worried. And then if they get worried, then they're going to start talking. And I've seen, you know, text streams of kids who have just gone from, hey, what you doing, to, are you safe? You know, I'm going to call the police.
You know. Are you lying on a road somewhere?
Exactly.
You're dead in a car?
And all of that within the span of, you know, 10 minutes.
Right. That's right.
Like, no, I was just in the shower.
Because they are accustomed to an immediate response. And if they don't get it, after a time, you begin to worry. At first, you think you're ignoring me. Then maybe there's something wrong.
Yeah.
For us, it was if you didn't show up to work by the third day, you know, we'd have somebody check the house.
Yeah.
But these kids are working in minutes and seconds.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So please remember, when we say that they're dependent, parents say she's addicted to her phone. I think the more accurate word is dependent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have become dependent on their phone. And there's nothing we can do about that. There are two solutions to that. You leave them with their phone, but limit. You have to have times during the day when the phone
is off.
Isn't working.
Right.
Meal times, bedtime, homework time.
Right.
You decide in your family. But there have to be times because children need to learn that they can function without their phone. I think that's the most important positive thing we can do as parents is we take the phone for positive reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get a good night's sleep.
Right.
We're going to talk during dinner. And you have to be able to focus on your homework. Mm-hmm. Okay? So those are positive reasons. But the other lesson you're teaching them is you can survive without a phone for an hour.
Right.
Okay? I turn my phone off at night. It's not even on. After 8 or 9 o'clock, I turn it off.
I know.
See what I mean? So, and so it's because I want to relax. I don't want to be worried about who's if somebody's texting me at 11 o'clock, it's probably an emergency. And I don't want to be, you know, sitting at my phone waiting for the emergencies to come in.
Right.
And so our children need to learn the same thing that, I can come to the table and everything's okay after an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's still connected. So you teach them that they can function without their phone.
Right.
Okay. Important lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess the moral of the story mm-hmm. is that we need to be a little bit more mindful when we decide on the different or type of consequence
right.
that we want to administer
That's
for
right.
a particular behavior, a particular issue, a particular problem. Mm-hmm. Just going to the easy default of taking away the cell phone is not ideal. It's not right. the best way to handle those situations because A, it's not going to get the desired outcome that you're looking for. Parents time and time and time again say, I take his cell phone for weeks at a time and he keeps doing it. Again, that should be a cue that it's not effective, that it's not right. working. The second thing is that when you do that, you're taking away a very important aspect of their life, an important life lesson in their development, and that is that social aspect, that relational right. mm-hmm. aspect of their day. Mm-hmm.
There's one final point that we want to make about taking a cell phone. We said earlier that if a child fails a math test, she fails an algebra test, and you take her phone, okay, what we're saying to the child is, I'm going to punish you because you did poorly on this test. Because you've taken her cell phone, now the child is in a position of, what do I do now? I want my cell phone back, but I don't know how to improve in algebra. I don't,
right.
Children frequently don't know how to solve the algebra problem,
right.
how to solve the problem of getting a low grade in algebra. So does she go to the teacher? Does she get a tutor? Does she study more? We're not helping our child solve the immediate
right.
problem of the algebra test.
Right.
When you take the phone, yes, you might scare them and you might scare them into action, but will the action be effective?
Right.
Okay. What I want to do as a parent is say, okay, let's sit down and look at this. Where's the breakdown
right.
occurring? Okay.
Right.
The second thing you do, and we can't emphasize this enough. The second thing that happens is your child has failed an algebra test. When you ask for her phone, you have now made the phone the issue.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now you're going to get into an argument about the phone.
Yeah.
Because the child's going to say, well, why are you taking my phone? You can't take my phone. You can't. Now you're arguing about the phone. She still doesn't know how to do algebra.
Right.
Okay. So taking the phone, requesting the phone, demanding that she turn over her phone, or taking it for 2 days or 3 days or four
right.
days, what you're doing now is you've transferred the argument, you've transferred the problem. The real problem is, how do I help my child in algebra?
Right.
To now we're having an argument about whose phone it is.
Right. We've in essence created two battles.
Now you have two battles.
We have the battle over how do we improve our performance in algebra,
right.
and we have a battle of, no, it's my phone.
That's right. That's right. And that happens all the time.
Yeah.
I have seen it happen
often.
In my own home.
Right.
That somebody said, well, give me your cell phone. Well, now the whole thing is switched to the cell phone.
Right.
And the original problem still exists. So you're right.
right.
Now you have two problems.
And it's never resolved.
You don't resolve either one of them.
Because the focus shifts. Yeah.
Right.
So
don't, the take home message here is, don't always reach for the cell phone. Yes,
right.
it's a powerful tool. It's a powerful weapon in your arsenal. But don't always reach for the cell phone. There are lots of unintended consequences when you do.
And it's far more effective to use in the appropriate way.
That's
by
right.
saying, you know, clearly it's difficult for you to do your homework while you have your cell phone.
Right.
Let me hold on to your cell phone. When you finish your homework,
right.
you can have it back.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some bucking that. There will be a little
mm-hmm.
bit of arguing with that. But the bottom line is, I can either take it for the next 30 minutes while you do that,
right.
or I can hold on to it, you know, what you've been doing. I can hold on to it for a day.
Till morning.
Mm-hmm. Most kids will eventually get to that point. They'll be fine. They'll be okay. And then they'll do their homework, and then they'll ask for their phone back or be ready
That's
for
right.
to have their phone back.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be, I'm going to hold on to your phone for a week,
right.
2 weeks, a
right.
month. I met a kid the other week that hasn't had a cell phone since the end of the last school year because his final report card wasn't very good.
So when does he get it back? He doesn't know.
No one knows.
And what happens to those kids? This is another point that we want to talk about.
Well, it's the social piece that we were talking about earlier.
Well,
they're socially removed from everybody.
What the solution, we have people, kids we see, who don't have cell phones, high school students
right.
who don't have cell phones. Once you don't have a cell phone at all,
right.
you function in a different world.
Right.
You're not part of the immediate world,
right.
the teenage world. That may be a good thing. We're not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. We're just saying that if your child doesn't have a cell phone, they're not part of
right.
this web.
Right.
Okay, they can't communicate the way And they're right. Most of their friends are communicating
right.
that way.
Right.
So you're removing that possibility from them. And that's what builds resentment in kids.
Right.
But if they don't have a cell phone, like when I have kids come in and say, well, I haven't had a cell phone for 3 months, but I don't miss it anymore. Because they're not part of that world.
Right.
Whether they want to be or not, they can't be part of that world.
Right.
Again, make sure you understand what that's doing right. to them and how it's affecting them. Because they're going to be left out of some things.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. I hope that encourages some change, some adjustment. It is a conversation we have with lots of families here in the office. But
right.
We do have a pretty exciting announcement. Yeah. So we're recording today on September 9th, 2016. Mm-hmm. September 9th. Already September.
That's right. We started school on 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Next week is interims.
Right.
That's right. The teacher work. Polk County has a teacher work day on Monday.
Okay.
That's to get ready for interims.
Good gracious. That's weird.
Wow. So the kids don't have school on Monday.
My kids do.
They do?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
Who knows what my kids do?
That's true.
I don't know. I think my kids have school, but they go to that other school. So.
Right.
But we have a fantastic announcement, an announcement that we're really excited about. Because when we first started doing the podcast, one of the reasons that we started it was so that we could, because we have conversations every morning. Most mornings right. we come in the office and we sit and we talk and we have some pretty interesting conversations and right. we get to the point where we think, man, we should talk about this.
Right. We should do a podcast on it or a blog right. or something. You know, we should really share this with somebody.
Right, right. So what we're going to do starting next week, so that would be the 12th, on September 12th.
Oh, Monday.
Right. Mm-hmm. We are going to start doing a short morning.
The morning show.
A morning show. Where we're going to, each day, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit more relaxed than what our typical podcast is and everything.
You know, you're right. What we're doing is we're bringing people into our morning
right.
discussions.
Yeah.
You know, we have these morning discussions. What we're going to do is share them with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that's our, yeah. that's yeah. really what it is.
We had a great hour-long conversation this morning before we even sat down for the podcast that had nothing to do with the podcast.
right.
But
right.
it would be something really interesting. And I think things, it contains information that I think a lot of people would find helpful.
Right.
But it's just, we have those conversations and it's difficult to get it all down or get it all recorded. And so we're going to start recording it.
And they'll be shorter than regular podcasts are usually typically about an hour.
So. Yeah.
These are going to be a third of that.
Yeah.
25 to 30%. So they'll be like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And just light and breezy and, you know.
And each day we'll do something different. So like on Mondays, we're going to talk about things to kind of get your week going. On Tuesdays, we will talk about letters or mm-hmm. respond to letters and questions that we've received from right. listeners. So each day we're going to do something a little bit different, but just to kind of have it structured a little bit for you. But they'll go out on YouTube. They'll go out on our normal podcast channel, and
right.
they'll be available for you to listen to. Hopefully, if I can get the technology figured out, or if our webmaster, oh wait, that's me. If we can get the technology figured out, we're going to try to do it on Facebook Live or YouTube Live or something like that so that it broadcasts live so people can interact with us while we're talking mm-hmm. and actually join in on the conversation that we're
having. Join the conversation.
Because
right.
that's, I think that that's, well, that's what we're doing all this for. So,
that's right.
But that's going to start on Monday. And we're really excited about it.
We're
working on some new music for it.
I like the music.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Happy Boy.
Happy Boy. Yeah, it sounds happy.
Because I'm happy.
It's a good way to start the day.
I'm happy. Okay. And that's it. That's a great point. That's another thing we're going to include is that we're going to, each day, we're going to work to give you some of those reminders and some of that encouragement that you need to make some of those changes that you want right. to make. Because there's a little something that you can do every day to make a change in your life for the positive. And so one of the things we're going to include each morning is just a little bit of that cueing, a little bit of that reminder just to kind of get up and get going. And
keep
today's
going
to be a great right. day, and it's going to be fantastic. So so we're going to record it every morning. I'm going to get it up on YouTube as quickly as I can and get it up on the podcast. I'll probably get it up on podcast faster than I'll get it up on YouTube just because right. Of the speed of the different technology. But the idea is to get it up as quickly as possible.
Right.
But it will always be at the same day.
Right.
So, yeah. It's exciting about that. Yep. Yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll see how it goes. So if you have any ideas or any thoughts or questions or anything like that mm-hmm. that you would like for us to talk about or to address or to consider, let us know. Write to us. Mm-hmm. We'd also love it if you would do a review on iTunes. Share us on YouTube so that other people subscribe. We're building a little bit of a following on YouTube, which is great. And we really appreciate you guys listening and watching and doing all that great stuff. So right. Stay tuned. There's a lot more to come. There's so much to talk about, so much to consider. So
right. Yep.
Anything else from you?
That I think will do it.
I almost wore my turtle tie today.
Oh.
I almost did.
No, I was thinking if there's anything else that we need to talk about, but no, I think that's it. It's Friday, midpoint of the semester.
Yep.
Okay. It's the first 9 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Nope. Good to be back.
Well, thanks so much for listening, for following, and for mm-hmm. Entertaining our trials. If you won't notice this, hopefully, because I'll edit it very well, but we lost microphones midway through this broadcast. Right. So hopefully.
So this is still working. It's just.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we got it set up. So
we'd love to hear from you about the cell phone issue. Okay. It's something Absolutely. That all of us Absolutely. Are, all parents are struggling with it.
Yeah.
When do I give them a cell phone? How do I use it? How do I, so please let us know what your experiences are and we'll keep this conversation going. It's an important one because we are all, believe me, we are all struggling with it.
Absolutely. Okay. So, all right. Thanks Good. Again. Have a great weekend. Stay happy. Stay healthy. And forget to be afraid.